Ready, set, Mr. McCaffrey.
Welcome back.
We are on episode 3.
Episode 3.
And I couldn't be more excited about this. I've done a lot of talking about myself, and now it's time to learn about Mr. McCaffrey.
Well, I appreciate this break right now to do a little bit of reflection and discussion of who I am.
So this episode, we decided to call it The Teacher.
Mm.
Tell us why it's called The Teacher, please.
Well, for 20 years, I have been a high school English teacher. Did 6 years in Stamford, Connecticut, at Stamford High School, and I had 14 years of English teaching at Trumbull High School.
I'm really happy that you had 14 years and not 13 years at Trumbull, and we'll get into that in a minute. So, I didn't love school.
Mm.
Did you love school?
No, not all the way through.
Tell me why.
I think that's part of the motivation as to why I wanted to become a teacher is I think that like early on in my life, as far as schooling was concerned, I had trouble socially in middle school, you know, so I think some of like the social angst impacted my ability to learn. And I was always in like low math classes, and I always felt like I was slighted for that. So it was the whole system of tracking, I think, that really diminished my perspective on education, because I was doing great in low level math classes, but I was doing great in low level math classes. You know, how does a kid feel about that? It's not like you come home feeling that energized boost of like, I'm high honors, but I'm not doing what everyone else is doing, you know? Mm. So I think I wore that a lot in school. And I think that was the thing that kind of made me not love it. I loved elements of school, though. Storytelling was something I loved. I had some great teachers that were awesome at storytelling. Most of those stories were about their life, you know, and their experiences, which I think are some of the most validating stories out there. Strong connection to people that were authentic in front of me, you know, vulnerable, sharing who they were and what their life lessons were, and trying to connect it to their curriculum. So,
all right. Yeah. So you went through school.
Mm-hmm.
Had good relationships. Didn't love it, but had good relationships.
Yes.
At what point did you decide to become a teacher?
So it was going into college. I entered college as a psychology major. I wanted to help people. And I really loved thinking about the way that the brain worked and why people had certain behavioral tendencies. Mm. Behavior is something I love. I love to evaluate it, mainly because I'm hard on myself.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And all I do is evaluate like the things that I say and do incorrectly on a daily basis. But I love psychology. And then as I started going through some of the courses, I just realized I didn't want to, you know, limit myself just to psych. So I was like, well, why don't I like try some of these education classes out. So I hopped into a pedagogy class, which just is about like the theory of teaching. And part of that was going observing teachers in this area. So I got randomly assigned to West Haven High School. I went there. I can't even remember the guy's name. He was probably 26 years old teaching, and he was teaching Hamlet, and he was teaching the shit out of it. And it was awesome. Like sitting in that room, those kids laughed and laughed and laughed. And did they understand every iambic pentameter of the Shakespearean lines that were being delivered to them? No, but they have a solid memory of a high school teacher that was just trying to connect with them in an authentic way. And right there, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to connect with people. And I want to do this. And it immediately triggered reflection that I had of teachers that were really good at that and validated my current thought on education, like why, like I started with, why I didn't like it, but also why I liked it, you know? I think teens are looking for that. I think we look for reasons to, or we don't have to look hard for reasons why we don't like something, I think, as a teenager.
Right. Amen.
But,
preteens too.
But I think when we find something that we like amidst something we don't like, it's spiritually changing, you know? And adults can benefit from that too. But it was really the first time that I felt called. I felt like, this is it, man. I'm going to be this guy who I can't remember his name. And that's where my pursuit of education began.
Mm, the call. I love that. One of my favorite lines is, the call isn't out there at all. It's inside me.
That's like
from
that.
Moana.
Yeah.
From my understanding, from a good friend of mine that's a teacher.
Yeah. Former.
Still.
Always teach.
Every teacher has a, what's the word I'm looking for?
So
a theory?
Well, we start our careers in any class that you do, and they still do it now, having to write a philosophy of education.
Philosophy.
So what is your philosophy?
What is your philosophy of education?
It's funny. So in my first methods class that I had to write this out, it was the first thing that we had to do. I did speak about this teacher. And the compelling thing that I wrote that I think has resonated throughout most of my career is that I want to teach the student first before the content. So I wanted to get to know my kids in a way that was valuable and understand something that they wanted to get from me. And I think when you communicate to somebody something that you want and then you're capable of delivering that to them, you've made a bond that that they're not going to forget. Even if it's like, you know what, like I thought I wanted to learn how to annotate and he taught me how to do it. Now I don't want to learn how to annotate anymore because it's tedious and hard. But like, I think if you start in a place where you know what your students want, even when they don't know what they want, it's a powerful thing, you know.
Yesterday, you explained to me your process at the beginning of every school year with your students.
Oh yeah,
tell us about that. Yeah.
It was this for years we did it. It was called an owner's manual, a user manual. You know, when it comes to writing. I wanted kids at the beginning of the school year to write me an instruction manual or user manual, owner's manual for who they were as a student in my classroom. And there were all these different categories that they could choose and questions they could choose to answer. But the whole approach from it was, you know, tell me a moment in school that you absolutely hated where you didn't feel like a teacher saw who you were. Explain it to me. You know, how can you feel most comfortable in this classroom? You know, tell me something that, you know, I need to know about you in case, you know, we're reading a book that's going to bring something up, you know, what makes you uncomfortable looking around this classroom right now? And I promise not to tell anybody. Who are you going to have a problem with in here? You know, like I need to know everything I possibly can know within reason, you know, without trying to dig too deep into who they are to try to make the environment I was setting up as successful as possible. So I made them all write it.
You know what I hear when I hear that?
What's that?
You care.
I do. So annoyingly much.
You care. Now, I never had a good relationship with a teacher. I never had that one teacher that was like, wow, this guy or girl is like really impacted me. Mm. Did you have that?
As a student? I mean, I had teachers, yes. They're like one of my teachers named Mr. Richter at my high school. He was the guy. He's the first guy that swore in a classroom. I loved it, and it's why I swore in classrooms too. And it wasn't like, he wasn't ridiculous. He just didn't come. I mean, he grew up in Massachusetts. He wasn't using like the F word, like the word very. But like he was, you know, he would call like this guy's being an asshole, and he was like probably late 50s, you know, at the time. So, you know, like I'd never heard somebody, especially in an all boys private Catholic high school, you know, say that kind of stuff. So it was he was a great guy, and he made me fall in love with literature. Like his favorite book to teach was Catcher in the Rye. Mm-hmm. I taught that every year of my career. Loved teaching that book, even if kids can't identify with Holden as much as they used to. I think that, you know, it was a nod to him, and it was fun to teach him.
Did you strive to be that for other students that you taught?
It's interesting. I feel like when you're a conduit for learning, like a conduit for experience, especially if you're trying to put like the kid first in the classroom, you have to not think about yourself too much. So, for instance, like I didn't want to be Mr. Richter to all of my students. I wanted to be Mr. Richter to Jim McCaffrey. So like I needed to understand Jim McCaffrey in that situation before I could figure out who Mr. Richter was. Now with that as well, you know, you have to have certain morals, value standards that you try to hold yourself to. And throughout your teaching career, it's a hard career because there's constantly people that come into power within your system that have opinions about how you should do things. And ultimately, those people are trying to appease a different audience. My audience were the 125 kids that I had every day. Now, part of their audience were their parents, which were important, but those parents were responding to a different authority, to the Board of Ed, to the superintendent's office, to the principals, right? So when it comes to like really trying to create those morals and values that you stand by, you got to rely on your clients who are sitting right in front of your kids. But then you also have to have the wherewithal, have the mental toughness to be able to answer why you're doing things and feel justified in it. Always said it in my classroom. If I give you an assignment that we're doing and you ask me, you know what, McCaff, why are we doing this? And I can't answer why, I'm going to say right at that moment, you know what, guys, this isn't worth doing right now. Let's get rid of it.
Good for you.
So
it sounds like a young Danny would have benefited from a teacher.
Well, I think a McCaff would have been quick enough to combat young Daniel.
So
probably would have called you Mr. Vieira.
to our audience, yeah. And you're a humble man. You're not just a teacher. You were one of the teachers.
I mean,
let's put the humbleness aside.
Well, again, I can't say that I was. I think that I definitely grew some accolades in my time as a teacher in Trumbull High. I was the teacher of the year in 2016 in Trumbull, nominated by my co-teacher who saw me in action, you know, two periods a day.
One of my favorite philosophers, Jay-Z, said, sometimes you need your ego to remind these fools. And what I take from that is like, sometimes you need to understand who you really are, because who you are or who you were can tell a bigger story. And the bigger story for me in that is that last year, you contacted me. You're like, Dan, I've been an awesome teacher for a long time. You didn't say those are my words. This is how I read it. Dan, I'm an awesome teacher. But it's time for me to walk away. Talk us through that.
Yeah, I mean, the decision to join Live Free, and it's really important for everyone to understand this, is not broken down to one reason. 2 years ago, when I wanted to leave the field, there was a lot more frustration in me. I wasn't like particularly happy. I had hit a few walls that were being forced in front of me, and no matter how hard I pushed them out of the way, I couldn't get rid of them. And I'm glad I didn't leave then. Having the last year that I taught was an incredibly rewarding year for me as an educator. And it was, I'd already made the decision to leave, you know, going into that year.
Do you think that that's what may have helped
maybe,
it be an incredible
maybe.
Year?
Less pressure, maybe? Yeah, I think we do put pressure on ourselves. And I guess, you know, knowing that I needed to, I mean, the concept of absence makes the heart grow fonder of things, or like knowing something's going away, you learn to value it more in that singular moment, I think is an important thing. I also had this renewed zest for originality, creation, and like just this hype about joining Live Free. Like I was so ready to come in here and just start like swimming as fast as I could.
You came in at like the best time ever, because it's, you know, we're at the ground floor.
Yeah, man.
And you're able to help build. So you've earned the title. We don't talk about giving titles here because, you know, back to the Marine thing, titles are earned.
Mm-hmm.
You've earned the title of Chief Inspiration Officer. And I think it's, you've honed skills from your teaching that allows you to inspire people in a way. I could just imagine that thousands and thousands of people everywhere we go, there's a student that comes up to you and is like, "Hey, Mr. McCaff, you know, little Jimmy, I haven't seen you in about 15 years, maybe not 15, but you know, that just goes to show that you've impacted people." What are some of the lessons or skills that you used for teaching that you bring here?
Yeah, I think when you stand in front of, there's that, all right, so I'll break it down to this. There's that viral video of the comedian who talks about like school systems. Like, "Oh, I got this great idea. We're going to educate all these kids. We're going to teach them math. Do they want to learn math? No. All right, well, what kids are we going to put there? Oh, the ones that live closest to the school." It's like, in theory, this system is set up to put the wrong people in front of you, and you just have to go, you know. And there's so many things that come to impact what they bring in each day as they try to enter into this. So I think like the biggest lesson I learned was how to read a room, how to read an audience, and think about like what it is that these people need. And I think like when you can really get somebody to open up and let you know, let you know what it is that's going to help them move, like that level of compassion that you learn is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then you know, you experience terrible things with a lot of these kids. You know, they have struggles. They have things that impact them and come around that, you know, that change their trajectory like they have for you and I, you know. I think about some of like the really big, like the losses, you know, had students in my classroom, you know, take their own lives, had students lose parents in the middle of the year, had kid, like I've attended, you know, funerals, weddings, baby showers for kids that have come and gone from my classroom, you know, and I think what I've learned most from those experiences is just how to be a human, you know? And like you said, it is amazing to have all these people in my life that know me, because every year I got to start 125 new relationships, you know, and kind of build from there.
So we're coming up on that time, but I want to ask or talk a little bit more about the Chief Inspiration Officer. So
yeah, let's go.
The reason why I love that title for you is that, you know, people ultimately, they want to do good, right? I think we see that.
I think by nature,
people want to do good. And your words are so powerful in the way that you deliver them, that you inspire them to do good. So I it was important for me to for me to tell you that.
That.
Really quick. For people that are wanting to leave their profession to try something new, what do you tell them?
Make sure your heart's in it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's a good one. It's the truth, brother.
Nice and simple, man. Well, I'm sure that we're going to get to know you a little bit more. The teacher is just one layer of the onion, brother.
Yeah.
And it's an important one. And I appreciate you sharing that with us.
What's your Jay-Z quote again? Say again.
Sometimes you need your ego. You got to remind these fools.
All right. So don't forget, people, sometimes you're the fool too. So.
Hey!
You got to love that.
All right. Well, this was good. I appreciate you. Let's get back on this joyride, brother.
Appreciate you too. All right, 17 man. Minutes up.